Hello everyone, welcome to the first episode of Murder Time with me, Gemma.
And me, Michael.
That's right, it's a new true...
Murder Time, is that the best that we can
come
out with?
It's a new true crime podcast, and our first episode, we're going to be investigating the disappearance of Lauren Bolton. Ooh. Weatherfield resident who's mysteriously vanished. Is she dead? Is she on holiday? Don't know, let's find out together.
Let's find... See, I don't listen to true crime podcasts, so I don't know whether I can keep up with the ad libbing of this, but it's a nice start.
Thank you.
Do we have like mystical music to go with? I don't know whether I can whether
we'll
our budget
see what's
can stretch
free on
to
YouTube.
That. Maybe nothing. Maybe I'm thinking that maybe the conversation was true.
It's too jolly. It's sad. Everyone loved Lauren and now she's gone.
Yeah. I really haven't decided yet whether I think she's dead. My kind of sensible brain is thinking, of course she's not dead. They wouldn't just kill her off like that. But then it's just a little niggle in the back of my mind saying, maybe what if she is? And is that the twist that at the end of this murder mystery?
She really is dead.
Yeah, she is dead, because I guess as Coronation Street fans, we're used to them setting up mysteries sometimes. And then it turns out like it's none of the suspects or, you know.
Well, hang on. Let's go back to the very beginning of what we're doing here. We are talking about the fact that Lauren, as of the time of recording, so that's March 2024, has missing from her flat, and the residents of Weatherfield are concerned she may have been murdered. And there are a few suspects and a few clues, but we thought we'd dedicate this bonus episode to going through all the timeline and what's happened and who's the suspect and throwing in a few of our own ideas.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
well.
I don't know whether we're going to come to a complete... firm decision on the end of at the end about who it is that's taken her away, but hopefully it will give you, the listeners, you know, refresh your memories on some clues that they've been in the past, and maybe you'll be able to come to a conclusion of your own. That's the aim anyway.
Well, my aim is not to actually uncover what's really happened, because I kind of think I want to be surprised.
Yeah, I think there have been clues that have been dripped, but I don't think we've been given quite enough so
we haven't
that
got the full story.
You know, we're not looking at things that we're going to go, oh, of course we should have known. But,
right.
You know, we've found a few things, haven't we?
So, bit of a background here. Lauren Bolton, she's the daughter of Reese Bolton, who was a member of the white supremacist gang that was headed up by Griff. I don't remember what his
surname
is.
Griff Reynolds.
And they were behind a few naughty shenanigans, like trying to blow up a van and stuff.
Yeah.
And they recruited and brainwashed Max into also making his own propaganda. And Lauren was the girl of the gang, wasn't she? She was there. She just kind of... Well, she never really stated outright her beliefs. She was a bit racist from time to time. She's never really atoned for any of that, but we're going to pretend... that she did.
And she was Max's girlfriend for a bit back
she
then
was Max's
as well, wasn't
girlfriend
she?
On and off.
I think that she liked the fact that there was somebody that had been brought into the gang who was a similar age to her. Because
yeah.
As we later find out, she's been used by
abused,
her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the reason that she ended up in Weatherfield was that she was living with her mum.
Yeah, after the whole thing with her dad and Griff and everybody getting arrested, she went down south to live with her mum for a bit, came back.
Because he had a pervy boyfriend, her mum.
Yeah,
so she's come back to Weatherfield and she's living...
Got herself into a spot of bother.
Yeah.
I think it's worth just running down a quick timeline of what I would say were the main events before we get going with this. And then we'll look at the suspects, the clues, and... So it kind of started off autumn last year, where she discovers that Ryan Connor is doing an Ovid's account.
What's
so
this, Ovid's?
This is the Weatherfield equivalent of OnlyFans.
Yes.
And if you're saying, what's OnlyFans? Good for you. It's basically for Weatherfield women, or with people in the Weatherfield universe, to take off their clothes, and men.
Well, hang on, no.
Amusement.
It's for generating income by using your personality or your image, and you can take off as much as you like.
Yeah.
And that's the
and it looks like
difference between that and
over the course of the summer and early autumn last year, Ryan was taken off quite a lot, wasn't he? So she finds out about this, which we later find out leads her to start her own Ovid's account underage. But also, we have October time. her getting harassed on the phone by this mysterious caller. That's where the mystery of Lauren's background really started. And it was a really kind of slow burner of a story, wasn't it? Lauren's not always been the most popular of characters. Some people saying, who's this? I don't really care. But, you know, now I'm piecing it all together. I'm like, oh, I wish I'd kind of paid a bit more attention to it then. But she's got somebody who wants money off of her.
And I also want to point out that Lauren's had a variety of mysterious phone calls throughout this storyline, and some of them are different in tone to the others, and I'm not sure they're all the same person, but I'm also worried that if they're not the same person, I'm not sure how Coronation Street is going to let us know in a way that isn't really convoluted and confusing. Because it could be that she owed money to somebody, and then some of these other phone calls were mystery boyfriends, and some of these other phone calls were clients, and some of these other phone calls were a dad. We don't know yet.
Yeah, there's a bit where she's talking to somebody on the phone as if she owes money, as if she like knows them personally, saying, I'll get it for you, all right. But then there's also money owing from the electricity company we find in early this year. So she's really having financial struggles. So she takes advantage of finding out that Ryan is having an affair with Daisy, I'm going to say Daniel there, by getting some money off of him. And I think she gets money off of Daisy to try and settle some of those debts. But at this time, we're still a little in the dark about, as we still are, who that money is actually going to. Throughout November, she's still getting these texts and phone calls from somebody. She's kind of acting like she's interested in this person. This is the mystery boyfriend, the mystery man. Or is it somebody who's just got a bit too interested her in Ovid's and won't leave her alone? We're still not really sure. But what we do know is that on the 27th of November, Daniel goes to visit her at the flat, and she's got two glasses, a wine bottle. She's dressed all kind of slinky, so it looks like she's either had a gentleman caller there or she was expecting one.
Yeah.
Exactly. This then continues into the end of the month, when she presents Max with a watch. So he's been kind of nice to her after they've been in and out of friendship, because he'd been going out with Sabrina when Lauren earlier on in the year had wanted to be his girlfriend.
She got
but
jealous.
He chose Sabrina over her. But anyway, he kind of is kind to her, and she gives her this watch that looks kind of expensive, and we're left wondering, well, where did that come from? Especially if she's supposed to be, you know, strapped for cash. How's she getting this? Has she stolen it? Is this something that's been given to her and she's passing it on to him?
It
wasn't a particularly feminine watch, so it doesn't fit.
Is it her boyfriend's watch?
Yeah, exactly. Do not know. And then, talking of gifts, at the beginning of December, the 4th of December, she gets a necklace through the post. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, I think, which she shows off to everybody.
Oh, is this the L? No, it's not.
No,
the
this
L
isn't
necklace.
The L necklace. It's kind of like a rectangular gold necklace with an orangey red, maybe, stone set in the middle of it. And she gets it through the post in a brown envelope, and she kind of doesn't look too impressed by this, but she is wearing it later. She goes to the cafe and she's got it on the outside of her top, and I think it's Shona, maybe, who notices it and goes, oh, what's that? You got new jewellery? And she's like, oh yeah, my rich boyfriend got it. And this is really round about this time that the story of her rich boyfriend that we have never met, never seen. Does he exist? Is he just a client? Who knows? This is where the story of him starts to take root.
Is she using this idea that she's got a boyfriend as a cover for the dates and the goodies that she's being given?
Mm. How many men is she seeing? Yeah. Or is it just one really, really persistent one? I don't know. So that's kind of the mystery there for December. In January, a month or so later, this boyfriend's brought up again when she's invited round the Platts by Max and Sabrina for dinner one evening. And she's like, oh yeah, my boyfriend can come along. And then at the end, she's like, oh, he can't make it. He's working. Sorry. And I think at this point, Max and Sabrina start to wonder, is this guy actually real? She's been talking about him all this time. We've got no hard proof that he exists. Not too sure. That's also the party, if you remember, that Gav was invited to. He wasn't too happy to see that Lauren was there, because he knows that she's been involved in this racist group. But she ends up charming him, and they have a kind of nice time together. But we, you know, that kind of route for her character hasn't really continued, has it? But it's worth not forgetting that, just in case, you know, is Gabba suspect?
We don't know. All these things could be relevant. There could be clues, there could be red herrings.
Yeah. Same episode at the end, we see her back in the flat on the phone to this guy, and she's saying, oh, people don't think you exist. So he does exist. There is somebody.
Is she talking to her? Is she gone mad?
I don't know. And then also as over the course of that phone call, she dumps him. She's like, I've had enough of this. You dumped it. It's over. He is then very persistent over the course of the next few months. Well, the next month, I suppose. He sends her flowers on Valentine's Day. He's bombarding her with texts, phone calls, and you start to see, you know, she's really fed up with this guy that won't leave her alone. So the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, she gets this massive bouquet. She's not particularly impressed by it. She's a bit embarrassed because Bobby has also given her a kind of cheap-looking bouquet just at the same time. She also kisses Bobby because he's been pursuing her. Some might say harassing her as well for about 2-3 weeks before then. And at the end of that episode, or towards the end of the episode, when she is back from her back at her flat after going to speed dial to get a curry, she gets a knock on the door. And then she opens it up. We don't see who it is. She's just looking up and she looks kind of surprised that this guy's there.
Mm.
Next episode is when she invites Bobby back to her flat. She's also gets the demand from the electricity company on that day. But yeah, towards the end of the episode, Bobby comes to her flat. Actually, no, Max and Sabrina have come to the flat first. They see that she's there dressed all slinky again. Do you remember she had kind of like, I call it like a Harley Quinn look, which is like just the...
She's got her long blonde hair in fancy style. She's doing a video.
She hides the
equipment.
Yeah, we see her put the camera underneath a duvet. Max and Sabrina are talking to her. She says, I've got a tutoring session later. And they're like, what's going on? You fancy Daniel? You seeing him or something? Why would you dress up like this? And she kind of blows off that idea. But then she says to them, look, I've got my tutoring. That's it. And they managed to get it out of her that she's been doing Ovids. Now, since she set up her account back in the autumn, she's turned 18. So this is now legal. It's a new account. So she's got two Ovids accounts.
Ryan,
the old one
had got her kicked off the old one, and
now she's set up this new one. Now she is of age.
And so this is the episode after the Valentine's one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is when Bobby kind of comes onto her and they start kissing, and then he notices that she's got a massive bruise on her shoulder. So the assumption that you're supposed to make is whoever visits her on Valentine's Day is the person who attacked her. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's this boyfriend.
Yeah, but she kind of, I can't remember what she says. She walked into something.
She says she fell on the stairs.
Yeah, that's it.
And Max worries that she started, this Ovids has sort of gone into her real life instead of just being online.
Yeah, because Bobby sees Max and Sabrina at the bus stop at the end of that episode, and they kind of share worries. I think Max might even bring Daniel up as a suspect then, I can't remember. And then
she gets fired from working at Roy's, and then on the 21st of February, Roy gives Lauren her wages, and that same episode, Bobby finds the flat empty with a bacon sandwich left, just like the Marie Celeste.
Yeah, so
there were bacon sandwiches all over that ship. So there we go. That's the basic timeline.
That's the main facts of what's happened so far.
Okay, so we've got a few clues to go over, haven't we? So this necklace, there's been a bit of overlap in the conversation I've seen online in people mentioning a necklace, because I think we've all got a bit confused with the gift necklace that she was given and the L monogram necklace that she has.
I think we have added to that confusion ourselves.
It might have been my fault. So the L necklace, we don't know where that came from, but she's had it for a while. There's no indication that this is a gift from her secret boyfriend. But the reason that people were intrigued by this is because Bethany had a necklace with her initials on it. So they both had initialed necklaces, but Nathan is not responsible for Bethany's necklace, and there's no indication that he gave Lauren her necklace. They both just happen to have monogram necklaces.
But the reason that it's still worthy of discussion is because one of Nathan's things is that he gave his
victims. He had like a signature
piece
of jewellery that the people that he was grooming all got.
But that was that is not the same. So that necklace, it was a silver necklace. It was like a triangle with a circle in the middle. And that was noteworthy because there was a couple of... I think like when... We saw, I can't remember her name, Lara, was it? One of the other girls?
Yeah, the one that got run over.
In the ring, yeah, she got run over by a train and this necklace gets found there. And Craig, I think, who's investigating at the time, starts to worry that it was Bethany that was hit. There was also a great scene at one of Nathan's parties where Bethany sees Lara with this necklace and says, "Oh, that's my necklace." And Lara's like, "Oh, Lana, maybe." He gives it to all of us. So you're right, this is a signature thing. Now, there's a lot of discussion online about could this be Nathan Curtis back again? He's got
a new necklace supplier.
Well, yeah, exactly. Maybe the other one's gone out of print. Is that whatever it is, the necklace
could
is?
Be.
I think he was sent down for rape. I believe he would be out by now. I can't find exactly how long he was sent down for, but you know, for the sake of this discussion, I think it's perfectly valid to suppose that this could be him. And yeah, maybe he's back on the prowl again. Maybe he's still giving necklaces to his the girls that he's grooming. But this necklace has been fascinating me because, like I said earlier, she didn't seem to like it when it came through the post, but she did wear it. We haven't seen her wearing it lots since then. It's mostly like when I picture her, she's got that L necklace on.
She does say it was from a new fella.
Yeah, she says it was from a new fella, but she doesn't really want to talk about it. When she's caught out with the necklace in the cafe by Shona and Max, they're asking her about it because it looks quite fancy, but she seems to want to change the topic of conversation. So this is obviously a mega secret that she's got. What's very interesting to me about this necklace, though, is that it disappears around the time that she does. So when we see Roy coming round her flat to give her her wages, he picks up that little statue, doesn't he? Do you remember there was a statue of a little angel or a girl or something? And he's obviously got his fingerprints all over that, and I don't think the police have discovered that yet. But anyway, we see a shot of him putting that down on a little side table with a lamp on. And there's a very clear shot of the necklace there. Now, why the necklace is there, I still can't decide whether is she ashamed of this or not. If she is, why is it sitting there out on her lounge?
Well, maybe because the boyfriend gets annoyed if she doesn't wear it.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway. So then after Lauren has disappeared and Bobby finds her empty flat, we see a shot of that same table. The statue's there, but the necklace isn't. So whatever's happened to Lauren, whoever it was that's visitor, whoever it was that attacked her.
Or if she went herself.
Or if she went herself and just sprayed a bit of blood around before she left. She took, the necklace went with her.
Yeah, the necklace is gone. Now, did Lauren take it because it's got sentimental value?
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody take it because it links them to Lauren and that it would be a clue to their identity?
Yeah.
Don't know.
It's clearly of importance, but I don't know how much further we can get at the moment with, aha, so that means it must be so-and-so.
No,
but obviously, because it's
enough
a necklace, that's, you know, one point for Nathan in the suspect list.
It's also a point for Joel.
Why is that? Oh, yes, of course. So do you want to say a little bit about Joel the suspect, Joel Deering, Dee Dee's new beau?
I think we'll talk about the suspects properly in a minute, but you guys will remember that in December he makes a large expensive purchase, doesn't he?
Yeah.
At a jeweler's, and he claims it's cufflinks, and then he says it was a gift for his daughter.
Mm.
But so this was, when did this arrive? I've forgotten. This necklace.
The necklace arrived on the 4th of December, and we find out I can't remember whether it was late January, early February, that it was Alia that picks up this or Dee Dee, I can't remember, and finds a jeweler's receipt from December. Now, frustratingly for us, but I get why they would do this, because surely they must have known, the writers, that we would be piecing these clues together. They don't say, oh, it's from the whatever, it's from the 3rd of December. It just could be any time in December that he bought something from the jewelers. You know, but the receipt didn't say what it was, so we're left kind of thinking,
we just
maybe
know it cost about 300 quid, didn't we? Right, so the flowers. Lots of people think that the flowers were the same, that Lauren got the same as the ones that Joel got Dee Dee. Now, they are in the same wrapping, but they're not the same bouquet.
Mm.
I think it's fair to say that they came from the same shop. It's also fair to say the props department prepared them. We know the florist that Coronation Street gets their flowers from. They might have used the same wrapping, just, you know, and there's obviously not suspicious at all that the local florists would supply the local women and all the flowers would be wrapped in the same wrapping.
Yeah, it was a little lilac kind of box sort of thing. And it was the episode after. There's the 14th that Lauren got her bouquet, and that was kind of a pastely, I think maybe purpley white sort of bouquet. And Dee Dee's was on the 16th of February,
which
for
the
next
same
episode
she disappears in.
Right, and then...
No, hang on, no, this is the episode that she gets her bruises.
Yeah, sorry, that's a bruise episode, and that's more kind of colourful affair, so it could
it
be a coincidence.
Matter. It doesn't matter whether the flowers are the same.
Does that hold much, does that hold water for you? Do you think that that's, you know, is it just a coincidence? Is it worth thinking though that could mean something?
I think
something?
It's a good red herring. It's good. It indicates that the flowers may have been bought in the same place, is all it does.
Mm.
But... On the 14th of February, this is when she gets her massive, extravagant bunch. She's not impressed with it. Bobby gets his nose put out of joint. He asks if they're from her ex, and she says, why does it matter? That's when she also gets a phone call, and she's like, leave me alone. She tells Bobby she isn't seeing anybody. And she also says to him that she, in my past, a long time, I wasn't a good person. I'm trying to turn my life around. And she also, the next... time she speaks on the phone to whoever this mystery person is that's probably bought her the flowers, she says, I'm doing fine, I don't need your money, so get lost to all you for good. So what do we make of that? Dunno. But it isn't of note that Joel had similar he bought the flowers the same place as other guy did.
Yeah.
Unless he's the guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now the watch, I don't know there's much to say about the watch. She says that she bought this watch because she was promoted at a call centre that doesn't exist.
Story running around November that she had a side job as a call centre, and that's where she was getting all her extra money from. Shona sees her going around the precinct one episode when she's said that she was out at work there, and yeah, that you're right, that job clearly was fictitious.
That was just so that Shona, I think that was just so that the characters would discover that she was doing Ovids to fund this.
Yeah. I don't think there's any real extra mystery there.
No. The makeup and the hair, I mean, that's just a clue that she's either doing the videos or she is having, you know, paid dates or whatever you want to call them.
Mm.
But I do think it is significant that Bethany was doing online videos, makeup tutorials and hair tutorials because of what Nathan coached her to do, and he encouraged her. And then Lauren's doing, you know, she's there, she's got very elaborate hair and makeup, and she's got the same kind of rig.
Yeah, Bethany's was like braiding, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
so it could be Nathan's back and he's encouraging the same kind of behavior in Lauren as he did in Bethany.
So she could be doing Ovid and something else, couldn't she, I suppose? Because Ovid didn't exist in the Bethany story, but
yeah.
I suppose Ovid's would, you know, have a market for people that just want to see girls doing their
My
hair.
Point isn't really about... I think you would dress up nice to do Ovid videos or to have dates, but my point is there's a link there between her and... Between Bethany and
Nathan.
And Lauren.
Oh, yeah,
because of the makeup and how Nathan acted around them. So the other clues, you know, the Ovid's accounts, two Ovid's accounts, one before she turned 18, one after. Ryan knew about the first one. We have a disagreement between us as to whether dear Swain knows about both of them.
Yeah.
I think she knows about both of them because the second lot she found out with a bank transaction. So we know Lauren's getting paid for it anyway. And the bruises are the other big clue. That we mentioned before, she gets that mystery visitor on the 14th of February. The next time we see her, she's got the bruises. And then we have the clues that are left in the flat after she has gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
So the missing necklace, the money that was left under the bed that Roy gave her. So why would she have left it willingly without taking that money with her? I think that's probably the biggest clue to me that she left... She didn't just leave in a hurry because I can see you leaving your bacon sandwich you just made, leaving that if you had to go, but I cannot see you leaving money.
No.
You wouldn't ever leave money, would
she,
you?
She was dragged out or carried in an unconscious state,
or
surely.
Dead.
Or yeah. Dead.
So those obviously have Rory's fingerprints on them. The bacon sandwich, the blood stains, which I thought there was some on the carpet, but they were found on the wall and the curtains.
There was definitely some on the carpet as well, wasn't there? And it was really odd that when we saw that scene of Roy cleaning up the flat, he didn't seem to be too bothered about the fact there was a blood stain there. He didn't like go, whoa, what's that? He didn't even consider or think to mention to anybody there was a blood stain in the flat.
That is really weird, and I don't understand why Corey's done that, because I don't think Roy did it.
No, for sure.
I don't think we're supposed to think Roy did it, but I can see why Swain thinks he did. But I also don't know why Roy would not have noticed this blood and mentioned it or even been worried.
Mm. And there was blood that you said splattered up the curtains. It had gone on the wall a little bit. We barely noticed it. It was Sean that saw it in the end, wasn't it? When he comes round with the landlord last week. But yeah, surely Roy would have noticed that. But yeah,
he was cleaning. That's the thing. It wasn't just like he tidied up. Mm. He was supposed to be cleaning.
Tell you what, Yasmin would have noticed it, wouldn't she? Because if she didn't notice that,
oh.
Where Jeff would have put his X marks, the spot in blood.
There's also the condom wrapper. Now, that was found by Roy. He touched it with his bare hand. If you're going to wear a glove for anything in that house, I'm surprised it wasn't the condom wrapper. But he'd taken his gloves off by that point.
Well, he didn't realise what it was, did he? He pulled it out and he's like, whoa!
He throws it in the bin. So that's got his fingerprints on it. But no one else's.
Well, no.
Does it have Lauren's on there? They didn't say. And nobody else's. So whoever... It's obviously not Roy. It was obviously not from Roy. So somebody else has opened a condom on that sofa, is all we know. Mm. Were they wearing gloves?
How long do fingerprints stay on things?
Ages.
Yeah.
A long time, because it's... Why would it...
I suppose there could have been someone else's fingerprints on there, but if the most recent ones, the ones that are on top, are Roy's, then they're going to notice that first. But they would also, I don't think, in the interview that we saw with Roy, what would be the reason for Swain to mention someone else's?
No.
She says, "We found yours and some other guys."
No, I know.
You know, Roy's going to say, "Well, probably him then."
We don't know if they found any others.
No.
Dee Dee didn't ask.
Mm.
She can only say what she's written to say, but you would have thought Dee Dee would have said, surely there were other fingerprints on that. Because
well, she'd been interrupting quite a lot already in the interview, hadn't she? And Swain was shutting her down for getting a bit too forward and answering questions for Roy.
Well,
so I don't know.
Maybe she was too scared.
She's no shrinking violet, is she? But you could say that that's why she wasn't pressing that issue too hard.
Right, so the final bit of evidence we've got is the chair. This chair, which was found, Swain thinks that it was used to hit Lauren with. So this...
Yeah, there's evidence of her blood and tissue on it, we've heard.
Blown her nose, probably. 16th of February. This is when... So this is the episode after Valentine's Day when the bruises were discovered on her by Bobby. That same episode, she tells Bobby not to sit on the armchair because the legs are dodgy.
Mm.
Now, this armchair is the broken-legged armchair. Now, I don't know, are the legs dodgy because it's already been used to hit her with once? Is it...
I think it's just a... I know, I just think that it's a dodgy chair.
She's...
So if it was used to hit her, then that maybe just made it worse.
I think the reason why Lauren mentioned on the 16th of February that the chair's legs were dodgy is so that it would give Roy an excuse to throw it out to make him look guilty then in the eyes of the law, because he threw it out because it's got a dodgy leg, but actually they think he threw it out because it was the murder weapon.
When Bobby comes into the flat, the chair is upside down.
That's the 21st of February after she's gone missing.
A lot of the flat wasn't in complete... I don't think it was in a complete state like, you know, things or
it was always
thrown
a bit
about
messy.
Anyway, exactly. But that chair stood out to be, well, that's where it shouldn't be.
So Roy was the last person that we saw with Lauren, wasn't he? And the chair was not overturned at that point.
No.
So.
It had to have been, upturned. Whether it was used to hit her, I don't know. At least during that particular encounter on the 21st.
I find it really bizarre to imagine that somebody hit her with a chair.
That's what I'm thinking. It's not a small chair.
But I think we're being a bit silly and thinking about it the wrong way. I think she maybe was smacked into it or like shoved onto it or hit and fell onto it.
Yeah, maybe it then collapsed underneath.
I don't think somebody picked it up and hit her like in a wrestling match.
It could have been.
That would have been quite spectacular.
Maybe it's a big guy.
So now we need to think about where is Lauren. So the most likely explanations are that she was kidnapped. She's gone off by herself, which is what everybody thought until Bobby started investigating. Is she been murdered or has she been trafficked?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way she's gone off by herself, like you said earlier.
She would have taken the money.
She would have taken the money and she wouldn't have gone in the middle of bacon sandwich. Unless she had a phone call from her guy saying, I'm coming to get you right now. And then maybe she did need to escape.
You would have had time to take the money, I think.
Of course, she said to Roy when he came to visit her, I'm going to start a new life. I've screwed up here. I'm going to leave Weatherfield, which is why Roy initially thought, well, she's probably just done what she said she was going to do.
Yeah, so the two clues, the bacon sandwich and the money, like, she definitely didn't plan to leave.
I don't think she's dead. I think I probably would be more interested in the story. I am very interested in it now, but I think I'd find it a lot more juicy and exciting if she was. But right. I very, very, very much doubt that's the case. Although the amount of blood that there was when they did the luminol scene last week, it seems like something big did go down. So even if she's not dead, she's not in a good way.
Now, there are a few off-screen clues that involve the actress who plays Lauren.
Yeah.
And it's Kat Fitton.
Kate Fitton, yeah.
I always say her name wrong. Sorry. It's Kate.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm not sure this proves anything because I hope that Coronation Street would be smart enough to ask the actress to put a few red herrings in there because These would be easy to do. We haven't seen her be cast in anything. We haven't seen her appear in anything else. She's not like in a panto, luckily. But there are some clues. So on her Instagram page, it says the actress who played formerly in Coronation Street played Lauren.
Oh, does it?
Now I didn't tell you this before, but somebody else saw this on Reddit after I'd already seen it, and so this is the cat's out of the bag on that one, I think.
And so sometimes that's actually true because last year when Macy Alibi left as Ruby,
yeah, that's right.
Her Instagram page said, and that's how we knew that Macy had left and that Ruby was being recast. I don't know what the rules are for don't put anything out about it, or whether once you finish filming, you can say what you like, where you like.
But can I add to that she also has had headshots done?
Ooh, that's a clue.
Which are quite
actresses
expensive.
Actresses getting headshots. Ellie Leach got
and
headshots.
And they quite often do that when they're not in Corrie anymore.
Yeah.
And on the 11th of January, she tweeted, "What an experience. Thank you to Coronation Street for trusting me to be part of an important storyline. For now, we say goodbye to Lauren Bolton, but hopefully this isn't the last you all see of Max and Loz."
So that implies that there is a possibility that she can come back, doesn't it?
It's very, very intriguing.
If she was dead, she wouldn't say, hopefully this isn't the last time.
This is why I don't think these are spoilers. I wouldn't normally bring this up, but the fact that we don't know whether she's dead or not, I think this is part of the mystery. I think Coronation Street has built this, and I don't think it proves anything either way.
I think they've done a very, very good job of keeping that mystery up. And it makes me wonder, are the fans who are waiting around the gates, are they going to get a clue? Because eventually, if she is going to come back, they're going to have to smuggle her into the studio.
They can do that, though.
A bit like they did with Oliver Farnworth when we thought Andy was dead. Yeah,
you just go in a blacked out taxi or something.
I don't think they'd risk her parading around Media City.
They would be silly.
They need to keep this under wraps for as long as it's going to take.
Now, her first, so her contract, so the first time she was in it was the 2nd of November 2022 to the 11th of January 2023, which was 2 months. And the second run, she was in the show from the 26th of June 2023 to the 21st of February 2024. So that's 8 months.
Yeah.
Does that mean, is that significant? Can we wonder if she had a year contract and she might pop up again before the 12 months is up? I think
actors who come in, if they're going to be in for a stint and not just a little guest spot, I think 6 months seems to be fairly standard. So the fact that she's been there for eight,
don't know if you can really put that much stock into it, but we thought we'd mention it.
Yeah, yeah. If it had been, you know, exactly a year since she came into it, now she's gone out, then maybe that would have been enough to say, well, that's a huge clue.
Yeah, so now, one thing I wanted to bring up, which is just a very, as this is a murder mystery podcast that we're doing, Murder Time with Michael and Gemma.
Oh, yes, I forgot that. and Abby, she's come to join us.
Abby's been listening intently. I thought I'd just quickly mention, in case anyone wondered, can you charge somebody for murder? Can they go on trial without a body being present?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can.
Oh, really? So if there's enough grounds to believe that a murder has taken place, otherwise you'd just be dissolving your bodies in acid and saying, can't get me for this.
Ooh, where are they gone? Don't know. So there is a legal case in 1660 in England. It's called the Campton Wonder. And I just found the name intriguing, which is why I wanted to bring it up. And this is when a family servant and the mother and brother were hanged for killing their master. But then he turned up and he wasn't dead at all. No, which I guess was the wonder, but for them, not so wondrous. So, you know, as far back as 1660, you could have somebody on
trial.
But
is this still something that is done in modern times?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope for Roy's sake that she gets found soon, don't you?
I'm 100% certain that it will not be a forever mystery what happened to Lauren Bolton. They will tell us one way or the other.
Mm.
But they can proceed with this murder trial without a murder trial without a body.
Mm.
So, given that, who do we think is going to be on trial? But first, let's talk about who's investigating. So we've got D.S. Swain, who has been newly promoted to main character of Coronation Street, or a regular character of Coronation Street. We've got P.C. Tinker, who's the hopeless idiot.
Inept.
Been demoted.
I believe Vicky Myers recalled him in the interview with that last week. Sometimes inept.
To uniform officer from his secondment.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Bobby, everyone's favourite new character, who will is incorrigible sex pest trying to get in Lauren's pants. You've got Max, who is
the
ex-boyfriend.
Really
concerned fellow racist.
Very close to Lauren, and I think he cares a lot about her welfare.
Yeah.
And not just because he wants to get into her pants.
No.
He knows what...
He feels responsible for her now.
Right. He knows what she went through as part of that racist gang last year.
To a lesser extent, Gav and Sabrina, who have been sidelined in favour of Bobby the investigator.
Well, yeah, Gav and Sabrina have been on the sidelines ever since they entered it. Like when we had last week, Sabrina texting them, I think that you should tell them about the Ovid's account. Like,
thanks, Sabrina.
I mean, that could be part of the ruse, couldn't it? Ask Gav and Sabrina a lot more.
Are they in deep with it?
Yeah. I mean, Gav can't be her mystery boyfriend because we saw him meeting her and getting on with her early this year.
It can't be the mystery boyfriend because she says she wouldn't have to introduce her mystery boyfriend to everybody because she would just say, it's Gav.
Yeah.
And also she wouldn't have arranged a meal with everybody and then gone, oh, Gav can't come, Sabrina. Mm. You should probably know that because he's your brother.
I think that I would say that Gav isn't worth paying much heed to at the moment.
No, but this is who's investigating.
Yeah.
So those lot, and indeed now Dee Dee's on the case, now Roy's in trouble. Is that going to drag, say, I don't know, Carla, is she going to start investigating?
Well, I noticed
Nina's now
Abby was hanging around at the cafe, wasn't she, this week? And we do know that Abby likes to save the day.
Yeah.
So is she going to start a bit of investigating of her own?
And who could forget the crack team of investigators that we call the comment section?
Oh, yeah.
Weatherfield commenter.
The Weatherfield, the Gazette comment
section.
The
dodgy guy who's they've already
decided Roy's guilty here.
So, the suspects. Who are the suspects? We know that there is a mystery boyfriend. This mystery boyfriend could, in theory, be revealed to be any one of our suspects.
Or nobody.
Or nobody that we know.
I think as a viewer, that's going to be the most disappointing outcome if it's nobody.
And just because I just want to also point out that the mystery boyfriend and the killer could be two different people as well.
Mm.
So it could be that she's got a secret boyfriend, like she said this whole time, that nobody knows who he is. And he's a completely innocent guy who just likes sending jewelry through the post and giving her money. And he didn't do anything wrong. And he's being maligned for no reason. But he's obviously a bit of a hassler. So he was first referenced, like we said, back in October, these phone calls and texts. And she's kind of not that into him. You get the impression that she's with him for the money, maybe, or that maybe he's a client who doesn't get that he's not actually her boyfriend. Mm.
I was wondering when she was getting... I think the only gift we know that she's got is this necklace. Because I was wondering at first, was that watch a gift?
No, but it can't have been.
She must have bought it with her Ovid's money.
So we don't know who this guy is.
I was wondering whether she was getting things from various guys. But the fact that she was speaking to someone specific on the phone in January saying they think you don't exist does lead me to believe there is one in particular who is being particularly... needy, I suppose.
So at the end, shall we say who we think it is so that we actually have a conclusion to this?
We can try, right, but okay. I don't think we know.
So we won't talk about what we think about any of these suspects as we're going through them. So mystery boyfriend, dunno. Nathan Curtis. Now, he's a big fan favourite, isn't he, for who this could be.
Mm.
He groomed Bethan Clapp back in 2017. And don't forget that also Shona was involved in this storyline. And she was a co-worker with Lauren at the cafe, so there could be a link there.
Yeah, Lauren, Shona was she was involved with Nathan and then escaped, and that's kind of how the story first started, wasn't it? So that'd be interesting to get her involved there.
Yeah, he's got form for abducting people. He is accused of abducting a girl called Annabelle Adams.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. She turned out that she just ran away from home.
But he could have done it.
He's more the form that we need to pay more attention to is the form for violence, because we saw him getting very handsy with Bethany. He put the cigarette out on Bethany's arm that one time.
He slammed Mel's fingers in the till.
Yeah, Mel was like his... She was one of the higher ups. She was a henchman that was involved in getting the girls and trying to make out that what Nathan was doing to them was completely normal. So she was completely complicit in it. Although she was somewhat sympathetic as well, because obviously she had been groomed as well. So yeah, Nathan has definitely got form for violence. But as far as we know, that doesn't go so far as blood spurting up the curtain violence. But prison does strange things to you.
He also... he's got form for coercive behaviour, and you know, he tried to alienate Bethany from her family. So the kind of hassling, like, attitude and controlling stuff from this mystery boyfriend could be clues that it's Nathan.
Mm. I mean, Lauren doesn't have a family to be alienated from, does
she? No, her friends though, you know, like not turning up to events and kind of never being around her friends so that people doubt her and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we haven't seen that to quite the same extent that Bethany was being moved, alienated from the
past. It'd be too obvious if it was, you know, if there were more clues that it was Nathan. But I think lots of people, you know, the fact that he could be out now, out of prison, the fact that Bethany's even in the show is a bit of a clue.
Exactly. Bethany just so happens to have been brought back into Coronation Street around the time where the person who was so entwined with her back when she was last in the show is a suspect.
He's not an official suspect, by the way.
Well, there are no official suspects, are there? Well, Roy and Daniel are the official suspects.
We'll get to
both
those
of whom we don't think did it.
We'll get to those in a minute. The other person who is on the radar of the fans is Joel. So Joel Deering, the solicitor, Dee Dee's ex-boyfriend now. He's very suspicious, isn't he? He's very boring. But he's also up to something. Lots of people don't trust him, me included. He's got that weird wife, Emily. So the story goes that he had been estranged from his wife. He cheated on her. Who did he cheat on her with? Was it Lauren?
No, no, because it was too far. It was too long ago.
No, just because he didn't cheat on her in the show that we saw, it doesn't mean that they didn't know each other before.
I thought it was a case that this was a couple of years ago that he cheated on her.
Yeah, so what? You think a sleazy man wouldn't date a 16-year-old?
Well, I suppose so, if he is, if we're to believe that it could well be that he is part of Nathan's the grooming sex gang.
That's
ring.
That's what I wonder. Mm. So this weird wife, Emily, is she actually his wife? I still don't understand why. So hang on. Joel has had a wife. He cheated on her while she was pregnant, and then he left her, or she dumped him, and he's got a kid that's 6 months old or something like that. So it's like he was married for a couple of years. Yeah.
This is the story that we've been told anyway. Yes. This could all be part of the cover up. If Emily is the Mel.
The best story he can tell is that he cheated on his pregnant wife, and now he's abandoned his family and is dated Dee Dee without telling her he was actually technically still married. Mm. That's his story. It could be worse than that, but that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So he's good at keeping secrets. This woman, Emily, turned up. She said she was his ex-wife. And she tries to get Dee Dee to go back with Joel because he's very sad and a nice man. Mm-hmm. That's not the sort of thing I would say about a guy who cheated on me when I was pregnant and left me to raise my baby by myself. So I don't actually think that's really his wife. I'm very suspicious of her. I think she's a weird woman. And if she is actually his wife, then she is odd. So he bought the flowers that look similar the day before for Lauren and then Dee Dee the next day. He's got this receipt from the jewellers in December that he said it was cufflinks. He was talking on the phone to somebody. Alia overheard him saying, "That's not how this works. You need to stop talking and listen to me."
Yeah,
Now, I think we're supposed to think, and I think it could possibly be, that was Emily.
Yeah.
But could it have been Lauren?
Yeah.
Could it have been him telling Lauren, you know, don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. I'm the man.
I think the biggest case against Joel is the fact that he was Lauren's solicitor back in September. Was it September or August? I can't remember. When she trashes the salon because she's sleeping rough there for a bit, isn't she? David lets her in. And then this is how Joel was introduced into the programme. He was her solicitor. Is that where it all started with him being the mystery boyfriend?
Yes. Yeah.
That's not a yes, it was. Yes, that's something to consider.
That's something to consider. My suspicion is, and you don't agree with this, but I think that it's something that you could write in. If you're a Coronation Street writer, this might be something, an idea that you might have. That he's obviously a duty solicitor that works around the police station. So he gets to know the people in the police station quite well. He's probably a bit too young for this. But, you know, the actor himself, I think, did I say he was 28?
Something like that.
Takes about 6 years to train as a solicitor. Is it possible that during his work as a solicitor, a duty solicitor, he's got to know Neil? Neil is one of Nathan's grooming gang.
Yeah, Neil
Clifton.
He's
a police officer. And he was like the secret weapon that Nathan had. He was like the inside guy.
Yeah, he was the mole, wasn't he?
So the fact that Nathan understands it's important to recruit somebody like Neil makes me think he would also be interested in recruiting somebody like Joel. And that's how Joel might have been sucked into this trafficking gang, if he is in fact part of this, and that is what happened to Lauren.
Yeah.
There's that link. That's maybe a bit out there, but you know, I like my crazy conspiracy theories, and that one's a pretty good one, I thought.
But it also just stands out to me that how long's Joel been in the show now? Since September. And he's really not done that much of note, has he? He was kind of treading water for such a long time. They had this bit with Emily at the beginning of the year that actually was quite interesting when she showed up. But really, we spent an awful lot of the time since September going, what is the point of this guy? Surely there's got to be some dark secret. There's got to be some reason why he came in, and he seems maybe like he's too good to be true, for Dee Dee at least.
Well, I mean,
and is he just kind of waiting in the wings for the big reveal?
Here's another thing to consider. We know that he claims that he didn't ask Emily to go in to speak to Dee Dee on his behalf, and she said he didn't as well. But since they broke up, he's not really made a big fuss about trying to win her back. Is it because he's busy chopping up a body and hiding it in various places around?
Good point.
Weatherfield. He might have something else to do. That's all I'm saying. So in the show, the two people that have been questioned about the death of Lauren, or the possible death of Lauren, the disappearance, are Roy and Daniel. So we just talk about Roy first. First of all, he sacked Lauren. So he's obviously got a vendetta against her, because he wouldn't want to kill all your ex-employees. He also tidied the flat, which is highly suspicious because, as we said, not only did he get rid of any possible evidence, but he also didn't notice the bloodstains and the general disarray and the fact that it looked a bit like the Marie Celeste.
Yeah.
He was suspicious during the appeal video that Bobby was filming with Suki in the cafe.
Yeah, he was just being his kind of normal, awkward Roy self and not really realising that some of the things that he was saying was coming across as could be interpreted as being somewhat suspicious.
Yes.
This is the thing with everything with Roy. Everything he does, he just says it as it is. And whereas sometimes, you know, if you're under accusation from the police, you might behave everything. In some mm-hmm. way, or you might be...
You don't give them clues.
Yeah, a little bit... Yeah. But Roy just says what it is, and that automatically looks odd.
He washed Lauren's clothes, which was what you would do if you had killed somebody. You'd get rid of some of the evidence. His fingerprints are on that statue, and we don't know where that's gone.
No, we do. The statue's still in the flat. Well, it was the necklace that wasn't there.
I'm surprised they haven't said that then, because they would have found his fingerprints in more than one place. They found it on the cash, they found it on the condom wrapper, and it was also on that statue. And he claimed that he wore gloves the whole time he was in that flat, and that he'd not touched anything before.
But we know that he's touched the statue, because we've seen him doing
it. That's just extra evidence to make, you know, I don't think Roy did it. I think we're not supposed to think Roy did it.
No.
But he does look very, very suspicious.
It is unusual that that statue with the fingerprints hasn't been brought up, because clearly it will be at
maybe
some
that,
point.
Maybe the police are just waiting. Because they really, he, you know, the fact that he said, oh yeah, I touched that wrapper, maybe he would then think, oh gosh, I better say I touched the statue as well. Maybe they're just holding that back to like drop it on him when they're doing the trial.
Yeah.
He also admitted that Lauren thought he wanted her to have sex with him in return for helping her out. That was on the 14th of August. So that makes him look suspicious. He paid off her debts and he gave her extra money apart from her wages, which looks suspicious. He rounded it up to £200. he's got a history of sleepwalking. He set fire to Peter Barlow's boat when Simon was sleeping on it, nearly killed him. He also has a history of violence. He attacked Gary Windass with a bat. So,
and when he gets angry, he can be quite scary, can't he? Like when he's had to throw people out of the cafe sometime, he's
really frightening.
Yeah.
David Nielsen is excellent.
obviously he's not generally prone to angry outbursts or violent tendencies, but he does have it in him.
Almost every man on Coronation Street and plenty of women have had at least one dramatic violent outburst.
So I'm guessing Swain may well want to ask about and try and find out, you know, is Roy capable of this? Could he do this? And most people will say no, but then you might have somebody. Is it Gary or I don't know, who says, well, you know, he's not always completely docile.
I can't remember if it got reported that he did that.
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, there we go. So that's the evidence for Roy. Now, what about Daniel, Michael?
Well, he's got a thing for blondes, hasn't he? And we saw on last Wednesday's episode, because he was the first one that was brought into the police station, that Swain was unravelling all the reasons why he looks iffy and suspicious. So Nikki, he did that, he had that story with a couple of years ago after Sinead died. He got her to wear Sinead's perfume and cardigans and other things. And when Swain finds out that yeah, he's been involved in with on a sex paper, worker he's before.
Paid sex worker, and he says it was all very innocent, and it was because I wanted comfort. But it, you know, it gives it links him. It gives him another. It gives him an ulterior motive as to why he was tutoring her for free.
Yeah, the fact that there was the free tutoring, he paid for her admission into the exam.
Well, Max hang on, is he putting... says the money that was in her account from him, the bank transfer, that was for an exam.
Yeah.
That she didn't sit, and therefore you would, you know, wonder, is that really what it was for?
I don't know when the exam was supposed to
were
be,
the
though.
Tutor... Yeah, but she's dead now.
It
she hasn't paid for an exam, has she? It's still in her account.
Was it? I can't remember.
It would have been easy to clear it up if there was also, you know, that exact amount went out to pay for an exam. The fact we only have Daniel's word for the fact that that money was for an exam. Mm.
What Daniel's got against him is that despite saying that it's all over between them, Max still has got a bit of a grudge against him. And who can blame him? He did push him down the stairs after all.
And has Lauren written any good poems or anything?
Not really.
You know, he's been so cool tutoring her. Has he actually been tutoring her?
Well, have seen tutoring sessions, and Daisy's seen tutoring sessions going on.
But I wonder if it was a dream. The fact that she was involved in blackmailing Daniel, Ryan and Daisy, you know.
The other thing with Daniel is that he also, like Roy, has been known to be violent at times.
Yep. Pushed Max down the stairs, etc.
Yeah, he can completely lose it, can't he? He's been, you know, had scraps with Chesney before. He can be really unhinged. When he was, do you remember that time when he was in his mum's house and he was, was he burning himself with a hot tap, if I remember, wasn't he?
He pushed Ken down the stairs.
Well, yeah,
he
exactly.
He pushed Max down the stairs. Yeah. Lauren said she got bruises from falling down the stairs. Did Daniel push her down the stairs?
Oh, yeah.
Don't know. But
they've done a good job of, I think, picking a couple of characters who've, as a police officer who doesn't know these characters as intimately as we do, there's, you know, good grounds to suspect. Although she seems to not really suspect Daniel anymore. It's all on Roy, isn't it?
On one person, can't you? But you know, if they've got they get a smoking gun for Daniel, then they'll drop Roy like a sack. Yeah. I think if you were going to ask me which character on Coronation Street could lose their head and kill somebody by accident, Daniel would be top of my list.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so...
He can snap. He had a difficult upbringing, didn't he? He had to raise himself.
Raise himself not very well. So he also got involved in this because when Max and Sabrina came to see Lauren that time, she was all tarted up and she said she had a tutoring session with Daniel, but Daniel didn't... That was a lie because she was covering for a date or Ovid's activity.
Well, yeah, They come to her flat and they say, what are you doing dressed up like that? She says it was for Daniel. And then...
No, she says you were having a tutoring session with Daniel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then later on in the conversation, not long after that, she admits that she's been doing Ovid's, but in Max and Sabrina's minds, she's still going to Daniel for tutoring, even though maybe... They could have clicked.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why she was doing it. But Max is now obsessed with the fact that she was supposedly said she was having this tutoring session that evening, and now Daniel's denying it.
Yeah, but Daniel spoke to Maria at the time to tell her that he can't tutor. No, he was talking to her about Liam and the fact that he tutors.
Yeah, I think in the episode...
Lauren, so he can't tutor Liam as well.
Yeah, I don't know whether we see what Daniel's up to that evening. I've got a feeling there might have been a scene with him and Daisy in the flat, but I might be misremembering. I mean, if he had an alibi, surely he would have said, no, I was with this person. I think he might have been
he'd been out
in town or something. But Maria, I don't know whether she's going to be that good an alibi for him, because that was earlier in the day. That was definitely daytime that he was speaking to her in the cafe.
I mean,
that's only so much that's going to help you.
The thing is about all this is that we know that Daniel didn't do it, and we know that Roy didn't do it, because the evidence that's against them, we know how that evidence was created, and we know why they did what they did, and it wasn't because they were going to kill Lauren. So
I'd still say that, you know, there's the slightest of possibilities that Daniel could have done, but absolutely none for Roy.
I think they would be silly to do something like that with Daniel, because he's a legacy character. He's Ken's son. To get rid of a character that could conceivably be in the show for decades.
Yeah, he's very popular. He's a really strong actor. I think that would be a really foolish move to get rid of him by making him a murderer. But
you know, Tracy has gone to prison and come back out for killing somebody, so it's not it wouldn't be crazy to say if Rob Mallard's wanted to leave the show, they could conceivably write a story where Daniel Osborne turns out to be a murderer, goes to prison for 5 years and comes back as a different actor.
Yeah,
it could happen. Crazier things have happened on Coronation Street. So those are the reasons why the police have reason to suspect Daniel and Roy. The other kind of possibility is the far right group. Now, Max has gone to see Reese. He went there on Monday to talk to him, and he spilled the beans a little bit about what evidence the police had against Roy, which then made Reese contact some thugs on the outside who went and roughed Roy up. Does that make you think that it's not likely to be Reese? If Reese was responsible or knew from his far right group who had killed Lauren, he wouldn't bother sending people to rough up Roy, would he?
No, but I think when Bethany was trying to contact members of the far right group for her chit chat article, Reese wasn't one of the people that she contacted, because she probably couldn't contact him. She
can contact people in prison for articles.
I got the impression that she was in touch with people who were still walking free, and they just didn't want anything to do with her.
Well, yeah, that's a reason why it might be somebody from the far right group, because like you just said, Bethany was writing an article about Lauren's experience, and she started contacting people. Now, those people might not appreciate being written about in Britain's premier chit chat magazine for women who are having their hair done in an ordinary salon. They might want to silence Lauren. Maybe one of them went round there to tell her to shut her mouth, and there was an altercation and things got out of hand and she was killed.
It doesn't sit right with me, because there are no known names in the far right group. There's Griff, not him.
Still in prison.
Yeah, there was Reese, not him. There was that big, big, bulky guy that got pushed over by Peter Barlow outside the sinister concert venue. I don't think that would make an exciting enough reveal.
I would be disappointed in any of those.
Yeah.
Now, we got some wild cards, haven't we? We got some out off the wall suggestions for who it could be.
Well, some of this is just from what we've kind of thought, and some of it we've seen other people saying as well.
Now, some people have said Aaron. Aaron might come back. So Aaron was the guy who raped Amy. It was the consent story. He didn't know that he was doing it. He didn't get why that was a big deal. So did lots of people on Twitter also had struggled with that concept. But I think this would be a mistake to turn him into a murderer, because the whole point of that story was that anybody could...
Yeah, he wasn't, you know, he did a terrible thing, but he didn't...
Well, the point of the story...
Purposefully be a... He wasn't purposely bad, was he?
Consent, you know, not getting consent makes it rape, and you could be a good guy. You think you're a good guy, but actually you're still capable of this. If they turned him into a murderer, it would undermine the entire message of that story. So I would hope that they wouldn't do that. Rob Donovan. Now, the reason that he's being mentioned is because Bobby is Rob's son. Mm. Now, Rob Donovan is still in prison, and Bobby's turned up because his mum kicked him out, basically, or he's got fed up with her boyfriend, and he's foisted himself upon Carla.
I think there's a lot of wishful thinking with where people saying, could it be Rob Donovan? Because Mark Bayliss was superb, and a lot of people were a bit, you know, peed off that he had to become a murderer and leave the show just for a bit of a Britain's Got Talent weak twist with Tina being bumped off.
Well, the fact that he was, I think, probably Tracy's true love. I think that she really, really loved Steve, but she really, really loved Rob. The fact that she's now broken up with Steve, and maybe Tommy's going to Spain, I don't think he is, but could that pave the way for Rob to come back and sweep her off her feet, even though he's a murderer? He's killed before. He's killed a teenage girl. It's not difficult to kill another one.
If he was out of prison, we would know.
They're surprisingly not very hardy
it seems, on Coronation Street. Yeah, I don't think it's him. Bobby. Now, could Bobby be lying about who he is? Is he really Rob's son? Carla did speak to Rob on the phone to confirm this. Was it Rob? I don't know. You have to reach quite far to make him not actually Rob's son.
He's had a couple of suspicious behaviours, like not wanting to tell the police about Lauren's Ovid's account, and was very insistent, no, she mustn't know about that, which might lead people to think, well, was he a subscriber to her secretly beforehand?
If they investigate the Ovids, are they going to uncover something about Bobby?
I don't buy that he's got anything to do with her appearance, though. We literally saw the scene where he arrives at the flat and he is looking genuinely surprised to find it in the state it is.
Well, he rushed to the flat when he heard that that Roy was cleaning. Was he concerned that he would find some evidence that Bobby had left? No. He also went to sit and watch the forensics going through the flat. Is that because he was worried about what they would find?
No.
When he got there, Max was already there. Is Max the one who killed Lauren?
No. It can't be any of these people. I think that we know Max too well. Max is good at heart. I know he had a bit of a blip in a year or so ago, but he's not in it at all looking suspicious. Well, he seems genuinely concerned about Lauren.
There was that scene when he had a fake ID. Does the ID help him murder people? Don't know. Is that a clue?
No.
No, okay.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel with
Tommy Orpington. Lots of people wonder if it's Tommy because he's arrived at the same time this storyline was really kicking off. Is he the secret? I mean, he's flashing his cash. He's got all the money from being a footballer.
Seems like a nice guy.
Has he got giving out necklaces?
I think back when we were theorising about this in January, February sort of time,
he was a bit more of a blank slate.
Yeah, and he was he was in the big story with Tracy and the affair. And we were thinking, well, what if, is this a wild card? But I think as the month has gone on, he's become less and less likely. He seems like a nice guy now. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think it could be Tommy. But it was because a lot of this story kicked off at the time when all these comebacks were happening. We had Bethany, we had Tommy, we had Damon, we had Harvey.
Is it Damon? Yeah,
I absolutely can't be anything to do with
Is it to do with Harvey?
Is this another job that Harvey wants Damon to do?
Yes, no. That's a really good point, actually. If you just stumbled across a massive clue, because we don't know the dates.
Harvey still wants Damon to do a job, and
yeah,
he hasn't done it yet.
Disposing of a body?
No. It's not. That's a secondary
given,
gangster story.
Giving
inquiry.
Somebody an alibi who killed Lauren.
Mm.
Is it that?
Maybe we should have seen what all the other characters were doing on the evening. I'm just thinking about alibis, and no, it can't be. It can't be.
Yeah, it can't be. Well, I think it is.
No, you don't.
Dom suspiciously arrived back from Germany. Was he really in Germany, or was he hiding in a ditch waiting to kill Lauren?
No.
Oh. His mum's, Lauren's mum's ex-boyfriend or boyfriend who was being pervy on her?
Mm.
No.
All of these that people are suggesting, they just don't hold any water for me with any amount of scrutiny or just the thought of, would that make an interesting reveal? They all just lead to no's.
Now, there was also a suspicious man who was hanging around in Roy's cafe on Monday who was overhearing what they were saying about Roy being interviewed at the police station at 3 o'clock. And he wrote that time down. And then later on, we see the goons sort of hold Roy hostage and rough him up on Reese's behalf because they think that he had something to do with killing her or disappearing her. Is that guy actually the one who... Is he an ex-client of Lauren's? Is he the one who killed her? Is he hanging around to see if anybody's rumbled him?
I think that we'll probably find out more as the week goes on. He just seems a bit more interested in the fact that local cafe owner is arrested for
sex crimes and potentially murder. I was going to say, if I lived in an area and I thought, and the local cafe owner was being accused of murder, I might go and have a cup of tea. But not if he was accused of sex crimes, because I don't want that with my tea.
You don't want that, no.
No. So, those, I think we've gone through all of the clues. There's an interview with Kate, in Inside Soap, the actress who plays Lauren.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this is just...
She says she's not this stroppy teenager who spits a dummy out of the pram when things get tough. There's a reason why she's the way she is. All we know about her so-called boyfriend is a feeling that he's a lot older and has financial stability. Her head is saying that he cares about her if he's giving her money towards her flat.
Mm.
So
that's just a little bit extra that Kate's been saying. I mean, it makes me wonder... I know that the storyline has planned this out months and months in advance, so that they know where this is going, but I don't know. I don't think they always tell the actors, do they? If there's a mystery going on, sometimes the actors know exactly where it's leading, and sometimes they are in the dark and they like to be kept in the dark about it. I genuinely don't know whether Kate knows what the outcome of this is, or at least, you know, maybe it's been filmed at this point. I'm not sure.
Sometimes they just don't care.
Sometimes they don't care. They just rock up and learn their, and say their lines.
So now we're at the end of the show. What do you think's happened and who did it, Michael?
It's got to be... And there's been absolutely no clues other than, you know, no real life clues other than fans would like this. But Nathan seems like such a strong contender for me. But it could just be a wild fever dream of a couple of fans that's taken hold. And it's actually Joel. I like the idea that maybe they're working together, they're in cahoots. I mean, the Bethany grooming storyline went down so well. That was one of Kate Oates' top stories in her time as producer. And Ian McLeod at this point might be thinking, I'll have a little bit of that, thank you. And I think he realises or thinks that bringing back such a big story for a round two might recapture that same fervour that the story got back then. It got all the awards, and Corrie's in a position at the moment where it's not getting the best press. The fans are, you know, not revolting. Always happy about it. So why not say, well, like, you can't say, well, let's bring back Pat Phelan. So let's do the next best thing. Let's bring back Nathan. That wouldn't be a bad shout whatsoever. But there's been... been very little in terms of solid evidence that it would be him. The necklace is really the only clue. Joel, though, has there been any clues really for Joel? Or is it just the fact that we're wondering he's got to be there for some reason because the character is, you know, so bland at the moment. He's not been seen exchanging any looks with Lauren, although I suppose if he had, that would have rumbled it. He does seem like he's maybe a bit too good to be true for Dee Dee, if you like that sort of thing. Yeah, he's got this cufflinks receipt, supposedly, but then that's been explained away. Oh,
I think... what do you think?
If I was going to say one or the other, I would probably... Gosh, I don't know. The fact that Bethany's back as well, I'd say I would probably plump for Nathan.
Right. And happened to her?
Oh, what's happened to her? Yeah, is she dead? I really would be surprised if this has been the end of her. I'd love it if that was the case, because it'd be nice and juicy and I like a murder.
It would be a bold move in a time when we've accused Coronation Street of not taking risks and doing
what's expected, doing what's safe.
Yeah, they just they want to have their cake and eat it too much, and I think that this is another example of that. I would be shocked if she was dead, and that's why I want her to be dead, because I want Corrie to take risks.
I want to be shocked. Yeah. I'm saying that it's... I'm going to say... Well, what did I say in the... I can't even...
You think it's Nathan?
I'm going to say Nathan has been grooming her. He's out of prison. He's up to his old tricks. He came round to her flat when she was making a bacon sandwich and attacked her, and that's where the blood is, and he's dragged her away to his
now
nonslayer.
me...
Yeah.
I think that she's been... Yeah, I think the same thing. But I think Joel and Nathan are in it together.
I think that's not a bad idea. It'd make for quite an interesting reveal as well if one is revealed before the other and we think it's just one person, but then actually, oh no, it's someone else.
Yeah.
Because I remember during the Nathan story... it was a while into it that we found out that Neil was a policeman, and that kind of double whammy. Yeah.
What?
They could recreate here, couldn't they?
Let's be ruined it. So, yeah, I think there's so many suspicious things to say about Joel that haven't fully been explained. I think the conversation he had on the phone where he was talking, that could very well have been the other side of a conversation that Lauren was on.
Mm.
I think that I think the receipt, the fact that it was from December, is too much of a coincidence that Lauren got her necklace at the beginning of December.
We've seen very little of Joel and Emily just having chats together.
Joel and Emily?
Yeah. No, sorry, yeah, Joel and Emily.
What, the ex-wife?
Yeah. So if she is not, in fact, his ex-wife, and the story that they've told Dee Dee is a load of bunkum, we've not had much opportunity to see the two of them together.
Well, I mean,
discussing,
like,
oh, well, you know, when...
Well, like Nathan...
The truth.
Nathan had Mel, this could be...
Yeah, yeah, exactly,
Mel
exactly.
Point two, so Emily could be a trafficker too. So I think Joel... I think that Joel's learned his tricks off Nathan. I think Nathan's the ringmaster... I think he's been dating her, and he went round there and they got into a fight, and he's taken her and kidnapped her, and he's holding her somewhere. And I would love it if she was dead. I don't know how that would have happened. You know, the only way it would have happened suddenly, and this person was not expected to go round there. So it wasn't like they were going to, she wasn't dressed up for a date. She didn't expect him to get, it's not like it was a date that went wrong. It wasn't, you know, a client who attacked her.
Mm.
So it's obviously someone she was expect, you know, someone she knows to open the door to.
Mm. Do you think that we're going to get a flashback to what happened?
I hope so.
I would really hope that now Curry has embraced the flashback. Not that I'm always in favour of that, but this is a time when I would very much like to be shown, oh, well, you want to know how it happened? This is it.
So if you see Kate Fitton wandering around Media City, she could just be doing a flashback as a ghost. Don't know that necessarily Lauren's alive, do you?
No.
But I think, in my mind, I think the most dramatic way that this could be resolved is kind of an appearance at the court. In my mind, I'm really, really set on this, that Roy's on trial. You know, it's looking really bad. The evidence is stacking up against him. The jury's giving him dirty looks. And then suddenly the doors swing open and it's Lauren, like, still with the radiator attached on a handcuff, going, I'm all right, I'm not dead.
We've had that happen in Curry before, haven't we? And I remember, for example, when Tyrone was up in court for pushing Kirsty down the stairs, and then she turns up there saying, no, it's me. I've been beating up with a Hoover all along. It's quite a... And I think... Didn't Rob Donovan turn up at Tracy's trial at one point when she was... I can't remember whether she was accused of pushing Ken or kidnapping Amy or what then, but I don't know. But he turned up to say, no, it was me. That's
I love
not,
a good trial interruption.
That's not unlikely to happen.
I'm 50-50 on whether she's dead or alive, because I think there's some compelling evidence off screen that she's not working at Corrie anymore. But equally, that's exactly the sort of thing I would ask her to do if I was a Coronation Street producer.
Exec.
And I was trying to hide the fate. But then
the fact that
it's a mystery as to whether she's actually dead or not makes me think she's not dead. Because if she was dead, they'd just say she was dead.
Mm.
But I like the fact that it's a mystery what's happened to her. I don't think Corrie's done this before. I think
they've had murder mysteries before, but that's always been when we know the person is dead.
And I love a good mystery. I really am enjoying this story. Mm. I know that we've complained about Lauren, who said we didn't like her, but I think this is a great way of using her character.
Yeah, I think that the story could have been more effective if we'd built up a bit more sympathy for her beforehand. And I know they desperately were trying to make her likeable. It felt like it anyway. Even Roy this past week has said, oh, she put me in mind of Becky. Or, you know, he inferred that she was similar to Becky. But I just don't think that she's captured the hearts of the viewers in quite the way that Corrie would have liked. And I think that if she had been a really beloved new character, they're like, oh, what a breath of fresh air this young girl is. Oh, no, and now she's been snatched away from us. Oh, I wanted her to be a long-timer. But I am seeing some people at the moment online saying, you know, dead or alive, don't care, don't bring her back. I'm not that invested. But it's not necessarily the fact that it's Lauren that I'm invested in. It's the fact that there is a mystery. It's got Roy. I mean, we know that Roy's not going to do it. He's not going to end up going to prison for it. If he does, he'll be out before you know it. But that side of it, and getting to see David Nielsen put brilliant performance after brilliant performance, which we know he's always able to pull out of the bag. And that's what's really keeping me invested. If it was Nathan and they were to, I don't want to use the word, but, you know, drag up that whole grooming storyline, do you think that that would be a good idea, or could it ruin the grooming storyline, or is it a bit?
No. What? Can you use sentence?
Oh, sorry. I was
responding to you.
You were shaking your head. I don't know whether that was a no, I don't think that, or is a no, don't bring that up. But, you know, sometimes when you revisit a story, it might taint the old story a little bit.
I understand. But I don't think in this case it will do. I know it. The worry is that it's a different, you know, producer handling this.
Mm.
So, and sometimes they don't do the other people's stories as well as they do their own. But no, I think it's a solid direction to take the story in. It all makes logical sense, and it follows on from what's happened to her. She's vulnerable, she's impressionable, and she's desperate. So,
and there's got to be a reason why Bethany's in it as well, because she's, you know, that's a big name to bring back into the show.
She didn't come back to write an article on Chit Chat about Ryan and his steroids.
She's been in the show for 2.5 months now and has done very, very little, considering, you know, this is a plat that's come back and one who was at the top of her game almost, you know, when she left. She was a big character, and she's was getting dramatic unlikable. Performance award. She has become quite unlikable as well in recent weeks.
And I never went much on her, to be honest, before, but she was a lot more popular.
Yeah, she was hugely popular, and Lucy Fallon, I think, did absolutely fantastically.
She's a great actress.
In that story.
Just to add again, in case this is unclear to people, what I say about characters should in no way reflect upon the actors.
No. It seems to be pointing more towards a grooming gang.
Are we in conclusion?
Yeah.
In conclusion, it may be possible that Lauren Bolton is the world's first murder victim who didn't light up a room when she stepped into it. And for that, we thank her for being real and not being fake.
And we think it's probably Nathan and could be in cahoots with Joel as well, because maybe we're just sitting on a fence and we don't want to go either way. But it'd be quite juicy if it was both of them together. What do you think, listeners? Have we said anything and reminded you of any plot points that you'd forgotten, and maybe stirred up a few theories of your own? Did you have your heart set on something when you started beginning to listen to this, and you're still just as firm as ever? Is there anything that we've completely overlooked and forgotten, and are we just as inept as Tinker was when he had his secondment to CID, and do we really need to leave the detecting to the experts? Let us know. Write in the comments. Send us an email. What's your theories? Don't tell us any spoilers if you've heard them so far. You know, maybe next week's Corrie schedules have been published and it says, and Lauren's been found alive.
Well, one good thing about this story so far is there haven't been spoilers. So, well done, Corrie.
Yeah, they're doing a very good job. And the fact that it's been, 3-4 weeks that she's been gone now, and I don't feel like we're going to get a reveal anytime soon.
I think we're going to get all the way to trial with Roy before anything significant happens.
Yeah, and I really, really, really hope there aren't any leaks. And if there are, don't tell me.
Don't tell us.
I want to really desperately be surprised as much as I can be in these 8. We haven't had yet this year anything that's been completely mind-blowingly, oh, I didn't expect that to happen, has there? Like, a lot of the big surprises have been teased in the spoilers or outright said that this is going to happen. And this could be the first big shock this year that hopefully Corrie is able to keep from us viewers. And it seems to be the thing that we want to know the most about. So, yeah. That's it.
Write in and let us know what you think. conversationstreet@gmail.com, or find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc.
All over. That's it. We're going to be back with the main episode at the end of this week, so I hope you look forward to that.
We'll see you on Saturday, Murder Time fans.
And yeah, we'll do another episode of this murder. What's it called?
Murder Time with Michael and Gemma.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Gemma and Michael.
We should have done it last year when Stephen Reed was on the prowl, honestly. Yeah. Anyway, goodbye, everybody. Ta-ra. And this music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.